This podcast is brought to you by Touch a Life.
Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Jayashree, and you're listening to Tal Radio powered by Touch a Life Foundation. Art is a beautiful word, isn't it? What do you think of art? What comes to your mind when you hear the word art? For a lot of people, art is music, dance, which is visually pleasing, and painting, drawing, sculpting, a lot more. But art is a medium to communicate, isn't it? Art is something that is used to communicate. And more than that, it is the feelings of the person who's creating it that are being expressed through art. And it, as it carries a message and is communicating that message, it needs to reach the audience in the same manner. That is the purpose of art. And today, we have one such artist who's working towards this goal. And there's a slight difference in the traditional art that we already knew and the art that she is creating. And she is a modern artist, I can say, because she is incorporating a lot of modern techniques and a lot of modern ideology that carries a beautiful message along with it into her artwork. So we have Sukanya Mani today with us, and she is a modern artist. She is a contemporary artist, and her art needs to be understood with your own perception. Without any further ado, let's welcome Sukanya onto our show. Hello, Sukanya. It's great to have you on Tal Radio.
Thank you so much, Jayashree. Thank you for your kind words. What a wonderful introduction. And I'm so happy to be here.
Likewise. And before we begin talking about modern art, I'd like to know a bit about you. I'd like our listeners to know, how did Sukanya come to this point of being a modern artist?
I would love to share my story. But if I could just go back and talk a little bit about what art is, as you have just given the introduction, art, according to me, is just creative expression. You know, every single human being has creative expression. It's only a few of us who are professional artists, but every single child and person has creative expression in their cooking, in the way they make their homes, in their meditation, whatever form you look at it, is art. My personal story started, so I am an army child. My dad was in the Indian Army, and he was in Border Roads organization, which is an organization that helps build roads in the border areas of India. So we lived mostly in the northeast and northwestern part of India, Jammu, Sikkim, Assam, all of those places. And that upbringing had a direct impact on me as an individual, and naturally the way I express myself, my art. Most of the schools that I went to did not have art education. We didn't go to Carnatic music class or dance class or painting, none of that. You know, it was just school and back. My introduction to art in my mind is very clear. It was the Amar Chitrakatha books that I used to read as a child. I loved the illustration. I loved the storytelling. I have always been very interested in history and mythology, especially Indian mythology. And it was a very powerful way of telling story through pictures, right? And I'm a self-taught artist. From a very young age, I would look at these comic books. I would look at illustrations and try to copy them. And to me, at that time, that was what art was. That's what it meant to be an artist. Cut to many years later, 1998, I came to the United States, and I was in a dependent visa, so I couldn't work for a couple of years. My training was in the sciences. I'm a graduate in chemistry. Even though I wanted to study art, it was not feasible to study art in India at that time. But when I had this time in the US where I couldn't work, I went back to what gave me joy, and that was creating art. And I decided at that time that I want to learn what the technique of art means, right? What does it mean to creatively express yourself. And at that time in my life, I thought it was painting and drawing. That's what art is. And I've always been interested in it, so that's what I pursued. And it was creatively frustrating because I was not able to express what I wanted to express using these materials, even though I loved drawing and painting. So I decided to experiment. I'm a scientist by education, so experimentation comes naturally. I took all the colors out of the canvas and I started painting black and white pictures, thinking maybe I don't know color theory. Maybe that's where I'm going wrong. Let's see if we break it down to the essence of lines, you know, maybe that will be more powerful for me to express what I want to express. That went on for maybe 2 or 3 years. And then I wanted to push it further. So what I started doing was just taking the negative out. Instead of having black and white, I just took out everything that was black and left whatever was white on the canvas. And I didn't work in fabric because fabric started sagging. So I experimented with paper. And that's how my paper cutting experience started. So I would just take something out. You draw a circle on a piece of paper and you take the circle out, then you have a negative shape of a circle against a white square, right? And I was very fascinated by that. So that's where the journey into intricate craftsmanship paper cutting started. That also I pushed a little bit more because I took this two-dimensional piece of paper and then I started twisting it and folding it and made this 2D piece of cut paper into a 3D sculpture. And I started to install it from the ceiling and from the walls. And so what happens is when you take a piece of paper and you cut it and then you transform it into a three-dimensional object and you install it from the ceiling, you have gravity working on it, right? Some places sag, some places are stiff. And so in a physical sense, I was using gravity and space and light and shadow to inform my work. And those are the physical attributes of my pieces. I hope the viewers are able to see some of my artworks either as images or on my website. It'll give a clearer understanding of what my pieces look like. Now that is a physical element of the art. But to me, art always meant storytelling or going into a deeper meaning of why am I doing what I'm doing, right? I'm creating this work. But I don't exist in a vacuum. It's created for an audience. How does this audience see it? How do I want them to experience it? And what do I want the audience to take away from it? These were things that I was developing the same time that I'm developing these physical attributes of the paper cut installations.
Absolutely wonderfully said. Please continue explaining further because I really can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Again, going back to these mythological stories that got me very interested in the idea of storytelling, I am a woman. I grew up in India as a woman, and my identity is directly tied to being a feminine person living in this world. A lot of the concepts of my work are related to feminine identity. And that means being a woman, that means being a girl, being a mother, being an artist, all of that, right, comes into play. I am also interested in exploring the darker side of these things. Like, what does it mean? What does safety mean? If you're a woman and if you're a man, what does safety mean to these two people? It's different, right? And how do I express that or how do I explore that? I'm not even trying to think about what the audience is thinking at this time. I'm thinking about what does it mean to me, right? There were a couple of cases of rape and murder in India many, many years ago. And that got me thinking about sexual abuse and victim blaming. The idea of taking an abuse and then turning it on the victim. What was she wearing? Why was she out at night? Why was she wearing perfume and so on, right? So I tried to dig more into that. And that created a series of artworks called Sola Singar, which in Hindi, in English translates to the 16 ways of adorning yourself. right? In the culture that I was born and I grew up, wearing a bindi, putting flowers in your hair, wearing bangles. So each of these are, there are 16 different ways that women adorn themselves. And I was told at a very young age that that's how women presented themselves. You know, you wear a bangle, wear anklets around your legs, and wear a bindi, and so on. And so I was trying to look at these two things. You want to look a certain way to present yourself as a woman, but sometimes these are the things that are used to victim blame and victim shame, right? Why are you dressed in this beautiful salwar out at night at 10 o'clock? That's why this happened to you. You know, what else am I supposed to wear, right? So that the Sola Singar series was an exploration on victim blaming, but I specifically used clothing and adornment as a way to study that. And that led to another series of works, which were more targeted to the Indian immigrant, well, not just the Indian, I would say, immigrant and refugee community in St. Louis, where I live. And this was about domestic violence. So this started during the pandemic when we were all under lockdown and we were all trying to figure out this new world that we're living in. And when I was feeling very emotional and vulnerable, I told myself, well, you know, at least there is food on our table. You know, my kids are safe. Our family is safe. We have a roof over our heads. We should be happy with what I have at this moment. And that's how I calmed myself at that time. And immediately after that, the very next day, I read a news article about people living under domestic abuse. So the very same thing that I told myself, you know, at least I'm in a safe space, I'm surrounded by my loving family, to a domestic abuse victim or a survivor, that is the most dangerous place for them. The outside world is safer than being in that house with their abuser. And it was like a slap on my face. You know, it just woke me up. It was like, oh my God, I did not consider the ramifications, how big this is. And at that time I started doing some research on, okay, if there is somebody in this situation, where can they go for help? I'm not thinking about artwork or anything like that at that time. A human being trying to figure out, oh my God, what, you know, how do people find help? Is there help? And so that started the journey of my trying to learn about domestic violence awareness, specifically in immigrant and refugee communities. And then I decided that the best way that I can support is build awareness through my artwork, because I didn't see anybody else doing that for my community. This is where I live. These are the women living in and around me, you know? So I wanted to build awareness about this. And so I did workshops, we did educational outreach and initiatives to talk about safety and healthy relationships, financial independence, a lot of things. And domestic violence is not only for women. There are men who are living in fear of their lives and of their mental well-being. We need to make sure that that is addressed as well, right? We need to address the LGBTQ community who are living in a very different form of a domestic relationship, right? So all of that came into play, which led to the current project that I'm working on, which is about identity. Who are we? You know, how do we present ourselves to the outer world? I'm interviewing over 30 Indian American women, South Asian American women, I would say, from different ages, different stratas, different professions, to find out what does it mean to be who you are. And I'm doing this again through clothing and ritual. So that is the current project that I'm working on.
Absolutely beautiful. And it's quite inspirational as well, because art, a lot of people consider art to be visually appealing or to give you that soothing feeling and to give you that kind of peace and stuff. But art can also be used to wake somebody up, you know, wake somebody up and, you know, tell them that what's happening around the world. And this has been a primary criteria since ages. A lot of people have used art in many, many forms to, you know, invoke certain kind of awareness in people and trying to, you know, get them on track when they are wavering off. And but the way you are trying to depict art in your paper crafts, which might sound really simple to say, but I really wish all our listeners go onto your website and look what you're creating. And I was really stunned looking at your website, Sukanya. Last time we spoke, and it felt so good. It gave me a lot of inspiration and courage, for that matter. I would really want to say the word courage, because the way you have depicted your art, clearly, you know, the arrow is shot on the correct spot. It hits you right. It hits you right that, you know, whatever you're trying to convey is clearly stated, clearly communicated. And that gives a lot of people a lot of courage. And I really, really, really want all our listeners to go there and look at all your artwork pictures. And whoever is in the US, please do visit her exhibitions wherever they're happening. And they're absolutely wonderful. Having, you know, understood all of this inspiration of yours, which is really wonderful again, I would also like to know your work considering the NGOs. I see that you have been working with certain non-profits in the US trying to create awareness through art. So how is that going and how did it start?
Thank you for your kind words. And just to let our listeners know, the website is www.sukanyamani.com. So the work with the not-for-profits locally started, as I mentioned before, during the pandemic, when I was looking for resources. And the connections with these not-for-profit organizations has been multiple in different ways. One is they provide material for me. And I mean, literally, I use their brochures, I use visa documents, I use their flyers that they have in different languages. I cut into these pieces of paper and create artwork. That is just, you know, a way of getting material and information from them. I also get data. For example, there was one piece of artwork that I created which showed the number of women who have asked for help in domestic violence cases in St. Louis, and the number of people who actually received it. So how many people asked for it and how many people received it. So I made an interesting visual diagram showing both of these things. And I used the actual paper that they printed it in, you know, so I cut into this paper and I paint it and I do all of these artistic things with it to present it to the viewer. Again, going back to what art means, somebody can just see the artwork, not understand any of the backstory, if you will, and just appreciate, oh, this is like really intricate cut paper, and walk away. And that's totally fine, you know? And then even if somebody wants to engage with it on a deeper level, they can see, why is this artist using this material? Why have they used these colors and why are they showing it this way? You know, that adds a whole other depth into your engagement with the artwork. Coming back to your questions about the not-for-profit, I also help fundraise for them. You know, an easy way to fundraise is for me to create artwork and then we either auction it off, or sometimes I do performances too, where I'm either cutting artwork, or currently I'm working with repurposed saris for the identity project. So I have a lot of donated saris and a lot of donated bangles. So I am making installations in real time that people can see how is this artwork created. And that also becomes a performance that is part of a fundraising event. And the third way that I engage is through awareness building. Every time I have a show, I either have somebody from, for example, there is this organization called Missouri MOCA DSV, Missouri Sexual and Domestic Violence, Organization for Sexual and Domestic Violence. I have somebody from there come and speak about what they do and what resources they have. There's another organization called MAI, M-A-I, Services, that's based in Michigan. It was created by a group of South Asian women to help South Asian women fighting domestic and sexual violence. So their board was so kind. A whole bunch of people came out and talked about the services they provided at the artist reception. I always make sure I have flyers and pamphlets available for people to take. My website has links. If you want to learn more about organizations that are helping with domestic violence, here's a list. If you want to volunteer, either donate your clothing or your toys or your pots and pans, you can donate to these organizations that are helping women living in domestic violence. And the third table is for people who may need help. If you think you need help, or if you think somebody who's close to you might need help, these are some of the numbers you can call, websites you can visit, people you can talk to. So the idea is not only to build awareness. The awareness building is very important, but it has to be directly tied in with giving help, right? What is the use of someone coming in and seeing all of this work and saying, oh, this is great, and then walking out and completely forgetting about it, right? But instead, if they say, oh, you know what, I have a whole set of my children's toys that I can donate somewhere, I was looking for a place, this is a great place to donate. You know, I can donate $50, $1,000. Where can I donate? Okay, I see an organization that works for this particular cause. I am just building awareness. The real work is being done by the social workers, by the people who are doing this work every day, by the law enforcement officers who are showing up, right? And the victims and survivors of domestic violence who are trusting me with their stories, who have rebuilt their lives. These are the real heroes. I'm just a way to tell the stories.
And that's not just a just. You said, I'm just a way. No, that's not it. I truly believe your role here is the most important, because you're bridging the gap between the needed and the one who can help. So the bridging the gap is extremely important, because that is where people lack. They do not know where to go, where to ask for help. And you know, if I'm ready to help, I need to know who needs help. So this is an absolutely wonderful job that you're doing. And as in the Indian culture, people say, when you do something good, you have the entire universe blessing you for it. And I truly believe that is upon you. And having spoken about that, I really want you to, I know it is difficult for an artist who does it visually to explain it in words, I understand. But again, I really can't stop myself from asking you this. You just mentioned an artwork with bangles that you have done with bangles. So I want you to explain it, the concept of, you know, why you have done the artwork using bangles, and what is the concept behind it to all of our listeners.
Yes, absolutely. So this is an artwork, it's called The Bangle Project. And the genesis, the beginning of this was a transcript of a interview with a domestic violence survivor that I read. This was a woman who lived in the Midwest of the United States. She lived in an abusive relationship for over 10 years with her partner. And she mentions in her interview, her doctor, her physician is from India. Her neighbors were Indians. She had multiple friends who were also from India, but she never felt comfortable enough talking to them or expressing that she was in trouble and she needed help. For 10 years, she lived in this abusive relationship, not feeling like she could trust anybody, right? That is very, very tragic and very lonely. And I was heartbroken to read another line that she mentioned. She said, if she talked about this to her friends, she would be judged. People will make fun of her. And they would think of her as this woman who is, you know, a victim. And that really stuck with me for a long time. And I was trying to process that. What is it that I can do at this point? I don't know if I can completely eradicate domestic violence like that. But what I can do is at least talk to as many people as I can and talk about how do we build a place of trust for ourselves, right? I am an immigrant, and when I came from India in 98, I knew one person and that was the person I was married to in the United States. That is so scary. I'm in a loving relationship with my partner, but if my partner was not like that, I am in such a vulnerable position, right? Who do we turn to? We turn to maybe other friends who are from India, who are about the same age as us, who are living in homes like us. And if we can't trust them, who do we trust, right? So I talked to my friends, my neighbors, parents of my children's friends and so on, other women. And I said, let's talk about building a trusting community. Let's trust each other. Let's take out the judgment from these conversations. And I'm a visual artist, and that's how I think. I think about building a trusted space, a physical space. And so I asked for something to be donated by all of these women. And I wanted it to be small, not something, you know, not a precious item. It's not easy to donate something that's precious. But at the same time, I was thinking about an object that directly tied into what we're talking about, which is matrimony, which is living in a domestic relationship. And so bangles were a really good fit for me. You know, it's light, it's simple, and people can give a few bangles very comfortably, glass bangles and plastic bangles and so on. So I asked, and my overwhelming, beautiful community of sisters in St. Louis just lived up to that promise. I got over 650 bangles donated. But each person that donated, I had this conversation. Why am I doing this, right? Let's build. It's not enough to just donate the bangles, but have a conversation about what it means. And the simplest thing, when a friend is talking to you, trusting you with a secret, keep it safe. You know, keep that trust. Build a trust amongst all of us. I collected these bangles and I was thinking about, okay, what do I do with it? How do I visually express this? And when I was doing some research, I remembered that my mother would go and tie these threads around trees. She'll go to the different temples and then they'll pray for, you know, I want to have a baby. I want my baby to be healthy. I want to buy a home. Whatever wish that people have, they will take that wish, they will do a prayer in the temple, and they will tie it in some auspicious place, right? And this is a wish fulfilling practice that we do in India, using thread and tying either yellow or red thread. So I took that idea and I took red thread and I strung each and every bangle on a frame. So over 650 bangles are hanging from a frame, and you see the precision with which, you know, each line is a straight line, and it's a grid that just falls together as a physical space of hanging bangles. All that is donated bangles and red thread. But the idea, every single person who's donated the bangle, it's their words, their intention to create a trusted space, and all of our wish to come together and make this a real space, make this a really trusted space so people can at least talk to each other. That's the first step, right? The first step to coming out of an abusive relationship is to trust somebody and ask for help. So let's build that space. And that's what this artwork represented.
Very beautiful. The way you have explained it, I kind of feel that, you know, you can also think in this way, that thread is holding the bangle with such precision. In case it's positive, you can say that it is holding the bangle so that it doesn't fall off and break, because they're fragile. You know, they don't fall off and break, and that is why it's holding it with such utmost precision, with the right amount of pressure, not being too tight, not being too loose. That's a beautiful way to depict. On the other hand, I felt if it is in a negative sense, if the thread is something that is holding you back from being your own self, from being your real self, that is also a perspective to look at. And I truly admire this particular artwork that you did with so much thought into it. And the reason I asked you to express it in words is because all our listeners should know the importance of such art, that is expressing beautiful values and beautiful concept and a message. that was really important. So I asked you for it because of that. Thank you so much for explaining that to me and all our listeners. Thank you so much, Sukanya. It was wonderful talking to you. It was a great time, I should say. And I wish all our listeners go onto your website. I'm saying this multiple times because I really want them to do. Link up your website and your details down below in the description after the interview. So I'll make sure that everything is clearly mentioned there. Thank you so much once again for your wonderful time. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. And I love how you explained it. And that is, we're coming back to the meaning of art. That is contemporary art, is I am making something, but the viewer brings in their life experiences and their thought, their intelligence to it, right? And a lot of people see contemporary art and say, okay, this doesn't make any sense. But it's not spoon-fed to you. It is something that you have to put in a little bit of time and energy, but the reward is so great. You engage with it in such a powerful way. And that's exactly what you did. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for letting me look at your art and get this wonderful experience myself. And that I'm really confident in sharing this to all our listeners as well. So thank you so much again. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So I hope all our listeners have understood the message behind what Sukanya is trying to say and the reason of her beautiful art that looks really beautiful, definitely, but holds a deeper and a heavier meaning to it. And I truly wish all of us work towards this awareness of domestic violence and make sure that this is eradicated. As Sukanya has mentioned, it cannot be done with one single person, and it has to come from every mind, every soul that is on planet Earth. So I believe this is a wonderful opportunity that we've got to understand Sukanya's art in this perspective. Thank you so much to all our wonderful listeners to listening to our episode today with so much of patience, and I hope you will benefit from this. So that was Sukanya for all of you today, and I am your host Jayashree signing off. Stay tuned and keep learning.
You have just listened to Tal Radio Podcast. For more podcasts, visit www.touchalife.org.